Well, welcome everybody. This is Randy Mays with ILTA, and I'm excited to be conducting another interview for our very popular Ask the Expert series in peer-to-peer. Our March magazine is going to focus on communications technologies, and I have a few members who have willingly stepped forward to be interviewed about their firm's mobile device strategies. Happy today to be visiting with Larry McGrath. Larry is the Director of Information Technology at Burns & Levinson. That's the 135 attorney firm in Boston, and I'm most appreciative of Larry's time today. And Larry, we're going to dig right into this. I'd like to start at a high level and just find out from you, what is your firm's strategy for supporting mobile devices?
Well, hello, Randy. I'm happy to be here. Burns & Levinson's strategy is basically an open-ended one, sort of a laissez-faire approach. As opposed to some firms that might take more of a mandated approach or a big brother approach and tell attorneys which devices to use and which ones they will support, we basically allow any device that complies with Exchange 2010 and Exchange ActiveSync security settings. If as long as it complies with those settings and I would stop right there.
So I'm curious, do you, sounds like you could potentially have quite a few different devices in your fleet. Do you outsource the management of those mobile devices?
At this time, we do not. It does entail some advanced knowledge on the part of the IT staff to support these different devices, but we support a wide range of ActiveSync devices as well as BlackBerries. Fortunately, BlackBerry has been around for a long time, and the management tools that they have work great. It's very easy to manage a fleet of BlackBerries in firms of various sizes. ActiveSync devices get a little tougher to manage without some outsourced support, but we rely on our existing investments in Exchange 2010 and Exchange ActiveSync to be able to use those tools, those security settings on ActiveSync to manage the ActiveSync devices that are connected.
Okay, very good. And I guess with sort of this heterogeneous fleet of mobile devices that you have, I'm curious how you manage the expectations of your end users who are always wanted the latest and greatest device.
Well, that goes hand in hand with our mobile device policy, which we did change from basically we only allowed BlackBerries a few years ago, but then we opened it up to various devices, and we changed our plan so that the policy so that the firm no longer purchased the devices for the attorneys and support staff, but we left that up to the users. The attorneys would buy their own device, buy their own plan, with the caveat that they must have enterprise data or any kind of plan with the carrier to make sure that they can connect to our corporate email. As long as the device complies with EAS settings, Exchange ActiveSync settings, they're good to go. We did see a problem at one point in the original iterations of Droid phones. They supposedly complied with EAS settings, but in reality, they didn't. You could say the EAS settings might say enforce a password, and the device would connect to Exchange even though it wasn't enforcing the password on the device. So they have had some updates on the Android operating system that has resolved that, but that was an issue for us.
All right, thank you. Now, you mentioned that your end users are working on their own plans for their devices that they own. I'm wondering if you've encountered any difficulties or any challenges around sort of separating that out of what someone may have with a family plan. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we have had some challenges in that respect. One of them being, I think AT&T was famous for we wouldn't be able to, if they had like their own BlackBerry, they bought it themselves, but they want to connect to our systems. sometimes because of the plan they bought, it wasn't working. So again, we'd make sure that they have some sort of an enterprise data plan, if applicable, with the carrier, and that would allow enterprise activation to work on those BlackBerries. Other than that, I mean, there have been a few instances where, you know, someone has needed help, and it's sort of like working on somebody's personal laptop to install Citrix or something. It's kind of outside the norm, but sometimes we will help them with their personal plan and personal device to, you know, whether it be family included or not, to try to straighten out the matter.
Very good. And you mentioned laptops. I want to kind of move away from smartphones for just a second and talk about the broader universe of mobile devices. Certainly that would include the laptops. You probably have some tablets, some iPads in your fleet, mm-hmm. other types of PDAs. Do you do anything in your IT department to sort of educate your users around if a specific device is better in a particular situation?
Well, basically, we are looking for tips and suggestions as well as the users. They come to us with this new device and say, you know, is this good? Can we use this? And sometimes there's a learning curve for us too to learn about this device and what its restrictions are and whether it is good for the corporate environment. iPads, they seem to have exploded lately. First, we allowed them, just like an iPhone, we allowed them to do email and stuff like that. But we also have started to introduce the Citrix receiver for the iPad so that they can connect to Citrix through the iPad. And so far, it's worked very well.
Well, good. It sounds like you have a very cooperative, collaborative environment between the end users and your IT. Sounds like you're going to learn from each other over time. I think that's terrific.
Yeah, cooperative and communicative and sometimes whiny, but, you know.
That is to be expected. Well, I want to change topics just a little bit here. I want to ask about at the end of a device's life cycle and disposal of that. Is your firm doing anything to dispose of old devices in an environmentally friendly way, or do you train your end users on how to dispose of their own devices in that manner?
We have not really yet trained the users or suggested ways. I mean, they have turned them into us, and we do use some recycling companies for old computers, old equipment that also, you know, claim to manage these devices these old devices that we give them in a green way, in an environmentally responsible way. Other than that, I do know that there are people and organizations that will take used cell phones, used PDAs, and I'm not sure exactly what happens with them, but some charities will take used devices.
That's great. I've heard other people mention that as well. That's a wonderful way to sort of pass that on. And I'm assuming when that happens, you have some policies around wiping the data off of those devices.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think, you know, we're all seeing just an explosion, really, of, you know, mobile devices and kind of looking to the future a little bit. At what point do you think we'll see mobile devices become a very solid computing platform and not merely an accessory as many of them seem to be today?
I think it's up to the manufacturers and the vendors as well as, you know, what we can do. You know, in a way, it's already here. The Citrix receiver for the iPad and there's one for Android devices, for example, is a way that these devices can connect to our network in pretty seamlessly and with a lot of efficiency. We allow the Citrix receiver for the iPad, and it has worked well, but we do warn the users that if they really need to connect remotely and do some heavy-duty work, that they really want to use a PC or a Mac and use a full Citrix client. If they need immediate access at the airport and they need to get some documents on their iPad, then the Citrix receiver for the iPad works well. So I think the platform is here already. Like the example of the first iterations of the droid that claimed to do one thing but didn't quite meet the expectations of security settings and things like that. It's up to the vendors as well to make those improvements in the device so that as we go further, it will be a more solid platform for connecting to our systems.
That is a terrific point. Larry, I think I'm at the end of the questions I want to ask you. Is there anything I haven't asked you about your mobile devices and your support of those that you would like to comment on?
Well, I guess my only comment would be that we've kind of, the horse has already left the barn for us. We've opened it up. We have the users own the devices, and we reimburse them for the cost of enterprise data. So it would be hard for us to go back and say, okay, we're going to need to use good technologies or some other third-party program to manage the active sync devices in our network. You read on the listservs these on the e-groups now that, some people complain about good, for example, that there's a lot of overhead on an iPhone. So now that we've allowed people to use the iPhones, to turn around and try to implement a good technology, for example, we'd get a lot of pushback from our users. And, let's say the horse might have already left the barn. So that would be a hard thing to accomplish, even though it might prove that using native Exchange Active Sync settings and SSL technology might not be good enough. I think that issue needs more review at this point.
Very good. Well, it has been just delightful to chat with you today. I appreciate your sharing your wisdom and your policies and your procedures and what your firm is doing around your mobile device strategies. Very much appreciate it, Larry. I know our readers will benefit from this, so thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Randy.